Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from John Russell and Anna Mateo. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, Czech scientists have come up with a way to explore flooded cave systems without having to go into them. Their solution? Create a three-dimensional map of the cave. A company called GeoCZ developed a new tool that uses 3D technology to map historical and archaeological areas. The Cave Administration of the Czech Republic demonstrated it earlier this month. Jiří Sindelar of GeoCZ said, "The input data are not made by individual pictures, but videos. This makes the on-site mapping incredibly faster." To produce the 3D images, someone still needs to wear a wetsuit, helmet, and other equipment before going into the cave. That has to be done only once and only long enough to film it. This is helpful because most caves are underground and can be dark. In addition, caves can be seriously dangerous when they are flooded. Last year, 12 Thai schoolboys and their football coach were trapped in a flooded cave for 18 days before being rescued. GeoCZ used its 3D mapping system in a cave about 100 kilometers south of Prague, the Czech capital. The cave was discovered in 1863 and opened to the public 5 years later. In the 1980s, explorers found lower, larger parts of the cave system filled with water. The exploration is continuing. Sindelar said the new system will make the exploration much easier and the findings more accurate. Divers can also understand the shape of the cave better when observing it as a whole in the computer model. Cave specialist František Kresa noted, "In the 3D imagery, we can really realize the connections of the whole system. We can get much more information from it."
A large sign warns people that Iceland's Fjallraglufur Canyon is closed to visitors. Yet many people keep driving down the narrow road to the canyon. A ranger at a roadblock must explain to them why no one can pass. The area cannot support more visitors. Drivers try to persuade ranger Hanna Johansdottir into opening the entrance to the canyon. Some offer her money if she agrees to help. They should know that such a bribe will not work. "Food from people's home country is the most common bribery," said Johansdottir. She recently turned down a free trip to Dubai in exchange for letting trespassers past the roadblock. "The problem is that the North Atlantic island nation may be too popular for its own good. Last year, 2.3 million people visited Iceland, compared with just 600,000 8 years ago. The number of visitors is out of proportion to the infrastructure needed to protect its countryside. Inga Palsdottir is the head of the national tourism agency Visit Iceland. She said a single film shot or video has often put overlooked places on the map. The extreme example in Iceland, she said, is the wreckage of a United States Navy airplane. The plane crashed on a black sandy beach in 1973. The seven Americans on the Douglas DC-3 aircraft all survived, but the plane wreck was never removed. Then someone decided to dance on it, and now it's one of the most popular places in the country, said Palsdottir. Fjadraglufur Canyon could be seen in the most recent season of the television program Game of Thrones. It also was part of a Justin Bieber music video. The video has been watched over 440 million times on YouTube since 2015. The singer can be seen walking on plant life and bathing in the cold river underneath the canyon's walls. Environment Minister Gudmundur Ingi Gudbrandsen said it is a bit too simplistic to blame the entire situation on Justin Bieber. However, he urged famous visitors to consider the effects of their actions. Rash behavior by one famous person can dramatically impact an entire area if the mass follows, he told the Associated Press. Gudbrandsen added, in Justin Bieber's defense, the canyon did not, at the time he visited, have rope fences and designated paths. Over 1 million people have visited the area since the Bieber video was released, the Environment Agency of Iceland estimates. The visitors left deep scars on the country's vegetation. The canyon was closed for all but 5 weeks this year. On a foggy morning, Hanna Johansdottir found footprints on the muddy path leading to the Fjadraglufur Canyon. The footprints suggested that someone had jumped the fence overnight. She predicted that more people would trespass later that day when she left to give a presentation at a community center. Less than 30 minutes after she left, people began ignoring the fences and signs. We came because of Justin Timberlake, said Mikhail Samarin, a tourist from Russia traveling with two other people. They were quick to correct the artist's last name to Bieber. I'm John Russell.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. Blooming flowers and new growth on trees make spring a beautiful time of the year. But for many people, all of this new growth only brings suffering in the form of allergies. Some people claim that each year their allergies seem to get worse and worse. Well, they are likely right. Environmental experts and public health researchers are all saying the same thing. Climate change can make allergies more severe and allergy seasons longer. A study published in the March 2019 journal Lancet Planetary Health found that pollen counts in the Earth's northern hemisphere have been increasing, along with a rise in temperatures. The lead writer of that study is Dr. Louis Ziska, a scientist at the United States Department of Agriculture. For the past 20 years, he has been studying the effects of climate change on allergens. He told VOA Learning English that his research takes scientific theory and helps people's health.
So it's been very interesting to be able to take this sort of theoretical observation and to link it into some real pragmatic responses that have a direct impact on people's health. And one of the things that we've been trying to do is to make it more real. How does this affect me? What does it mean for my health? What does it mean for my life?
Allergies impact millions of people around the world. Experts at the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America say allergies are one of the most common chronic diseases. A chronic disease is one that causes problems often or long-term. On its website, the Academy claims that between 10 to 30% of the world's population suffers from hay fever, a type of allergy. Many people experience allergic reactions to tree pollen, grass pollen, ragweed pollen, and more. But now back to Ziska and his research. In this most recent study, he and his team studied 17 locations in North America and Europe, as well as the following countries: Australia, Brazil, Chile, China, Egypt, India, Iran, Japan, Mexico, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, and South Korea. Ziska only included places where scientists could provide at least 20 years of data. The researchers found that 12 of those 17 places showed significant increases in pollen levels, and 11 of the 17 showed a significant increase in the length of allergy seasons. Back in 2000, Ziska wanted to examine more closely the link between climate change and allergens in the environment. He and another USDA researcher, Francis Caulfield, looked at the effects that rising carbon dioxide levels were having on the production of ragweed pollen. Ragweed is a common allergen, especially during the fall. Ziska said that ragweed is one of the plants that has the most effect on human health.
Remember, one of the memes that you'll hear often is that CO2 is plant food. And one of the plants that has an effect in terms of human health is ragweed. It's the most common allergen in the fall.
The researchers grew ragweed in a controlled environment and increased the carbon dioxide levels in the air. They found that ragweed plants produced much more pollen when carbon dioxide levels increased. But that is not all they found. Increased carbon dioxide in the air may also lead to ragweed pollen that is stronger or more allergenic. Carbon dioxide is one of the so-called greenhouse gases. These gases do not let heat escape from the planet, so temperatures increase on Earth. This is part of what we call climate change. Ziska adds that CO2 does not know a good plant from a bad one, and if you have allergies, ragweed is a bad plant. When other scientific writers report on the effects of climate change on allergens, they often use Ziska's research. One such report was published in 2010 by the U.S. National Wildlife Federation and the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America. In it, experts give a detailed explanation on how climate change is affecting allergen-producing plants. For one thing, warmer temperatures are making the growing season for some allergen producers longer. And the report says that some plant species may react better to increased levels of carbon dioxide than others. For example, as the climate warms, the areas for major allergen-producing trees, such as oak, are getting larger. So does that mean increased CO2 could help good crops grow better? Again, here is Ziska.
One of the things that we're also doing is looking at common crops such as wheat and rice and oat and trying to find specific varieties of those crops that respond more to carbon dioxide.
Ziska warns that not all places are being affected by rising levels of CO2 in the same way.
A city is different than the surrounding countryside. Cities are heat sinks. Trees, for example, in the spring, they tend to flower earlier in the cities because it's warmer. Cities heat up faster.
And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Ana Mateo.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. We continue to discuss the events of the 1930s and American foreign policy during that time. For much of its history, the United States was not involved in world disputes. Only in the 20th century did it become a powerful and influential nation. President Theodore Roosevelt was the first president to see America as a great power. A few years later, President Woodrow Wilson wanted the United States to become more involved in the world. Many Americans disagreed. They wanted to stay out of international conflicts. The presidents after Wilson stayed informed about world events, but they were much less willing to involve the United States than Roosevelt or Wilson had been. The Great Economic Depression that began in 1929 reduced Americans' interest in the world even more. Now, here are Doug Johnson and Shirley Griffith.
Franklin Roosevelt became president in 1933. Franklin Roosevelt was not like most Americans. He knew the international situation well from his own experience. Like Theodore Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson, he wanted to expand America's foreign policies. The terrible crisis of the Depression, however, forced him to spend most of his time on national economic issues. He was able to deal with international issues only very slowly. One of his most important first efforts was to improve relations with Latin American nations.
30 years earlier, President Theodore Roosevelt said the United States had the right to intervene in Latin America. In the years that followed, the United States sent troops to several Latin American countries. Many political leaders in the area accused the United States of treating them like children. Leaders throughout Latin America criticized the United States bitterly at a conference in 1928. When Franklin Roosevelt became president, he promised to treat Latin American nations as friends. He called this his good neighbor policy.
I would dedicate this nation to the policy of the good neighbor, the neighbor who resolutely respects himself, and because he does so, respects the rights of others, the neighbor who respects his obligations and respects the sanctity of his agreements in and with a world of neighbors.
Roosevelt's new policy had an unfriendly beginning. His administration refused to recognize a government in Cuba that opposed the United States. Instead, it helped bring to power a new government that showed more support for the United States. After that, however, President Roosevelt was able to prove that he wanted to improve relations with the countries of Latin America. For example, his administration speeded up plans to withdraw American troops from Haiti. It rejected old treaties that gave the United States the right to intervene in Cuba. It recognized a revolutionary government in El Salvador. It recognized the right of Panama to help operate and protect the Panama Canal. And it helped establish the Export-Import Bank to increase trade throughout the Americas.
All of these actions did much to improve the opinion of Latin American leaders about the United States. However, the most important test of Franklin Roosevelt's new policies was in Mexico. The Mexican government seized control of oil companies owned by investors in the United States. A number of influential Americans wanted the president to take strong action. He refused. He only agreed to urge the Mexican government to pay American investors for the value of the oil companies.
As United States relations with Latin America improved, its relations with Britain got worse. Britain blamed Franklin Roosevelt for the failure of an international economic conference in 1933. It also felt the United States Congress was unwilling to take a strong position against international aggression by other nations. Some British leaders had so little faith in Roosevelt that they proposed seeking cooperation with Japan instead of the United States. New leaders in Japan, however, soon ended this possibility. They presented Britain with such strong military demands that the British government gave up any idea of cooperation with Japan.
One big question in American foreign policy in the 1930s concerned the Soviet Union. The United States had refused to recognize the government in Moscow after the Bolsheviks took control in 1917. Yet Franklin Roosevelt saw the Soviet Union as a possible ally if growing tensions in Europe and Asia burst into war. For this reason, he held talks in Washington with a top Soviet official. In 1933, he officially recognized the Soviet government.
President Roosevelt hoped recognition would lead to better relations. But the United States and the Soviet Union did not trust each other. They immediately began arguing about many issues. Within 2 years, the American ambassador to Moscow urged President Roosevelt to cut diplomatic relations with the Soviets. Roosevelt refused. relations between the two countries became even worse. Yet Roosevelt believed it was better to continue relations in case of an emergency. That emergency, World War II, was just a few years away.
Economic issues played an important part in American foreign policy during the early 1930s. In 1933, a major international economic conference was held in London. France and Italy led a movement to link the value of every nation's money to the price of gold. American delegates to the conference rejected the idea. They argued that it would slow America's recovery from the Great Depression. As a result, the London conference failed. Although President Roosevelt opposed linking the value of the American dollar to the price of gold, he did not oppose international trade. During the 1930s, his administration negotiated new trade agreements with more than 20 countries.
The 1930s saw major political changes in Asia and Europe. President Roosevelt watched these developments with great interest. In Japan, military leaders gained control of the government. Their goal was to make Japan Asia's leading power. In Italy, the government was headed by fascist Benito Mussolini. Another fascist, Francisco Franco, seized power in Spain. And most important, Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party increased their strength in Germany. Franklin Roosevelt understood much sooner than most Western leaders the threat that these new leaders represented.
Most Americans shared Roosevelt's dislike for the new fascist movements. However, Americans felt another emotion much more strongly. It was their desire to stay out of war. World War I had just ended 15 years earlier. It was still fresh in the minds of many Americans. A majority of the population opposed any policy that could involve the United States in another bloody conflict.
A public opinion study was made in 1937. The study showed that 71% of Americans believed it had been a mistake for the United States to fight in World War I. So President Roosevelt was not surprised when Congress passed a law ordering the administration to remain neutral in any foreign conflict. Congress also refused an administration proposal that the United States join the World Court. Franklin Roosevelt shared the hope that the United States would stay out of foreign conflicts. However, Adolf Hitler and other fascists continued to grow more powerful. The situation forced Americans to begin to consider the need for military strength.
Americans did not want to become involved in another world war. They called on President Roosevelt and their representatives in Congress to remain neutral in world affairs. But aggression by Germany and Japan would force Americans to choose between their desire for democracy and their desire for peace.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.